Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Patria Tech conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Ms. Barbara Suvlova.
Ma'am, you may begin.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining the call. I have the pleasure to introduce Martin Rowan, CEO of CEZ, and Alan Svoboda, Executive Director of Sales and Trading, who will start with the presentation of the outlook for 2008 and continue with description of the strategic alliance with MOL, and then we will be ready to take your questions. Now I'm handing over to Martin Rowan.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I would like to tell you a few facts about expected actual results for 2007. We increased the outlook for the EBITDA for 74.4 billion Czech crowns. The main reason for the last change is increase of the estimation of not invoiced electricity. The other main impact why we changed the original outlook, which was 70.9 billion for this year, is operating cost savings and increase of coal sales and emission permit sales. At the same time, I would like to inform you about the budget of the CEZ Group for 2008. We assumed the increase of EBITDA by 20% to 85.5 billion Czech crowns, which will mean that the net profit will increase by 25% to 46.6 billion Czech crowns. The main reasons is the increase of production of electric power from nuclear power plants, is increase of trade prices of electric power, is increase of electric power sold in the Czech Republic, is increase of electric power distributed in Czech Republic, is lower depreciations, especially clarification of lifetime of some part of technology, is lower tax due to tax reform in Czech Republic, is optimization of electricity and CO2 trading within the CEZ Group. And last but not least, is operating cost control as the impact of the effectiveness project which we have started earlier this year. Another information we would like to share with you is the information about the share buyback. Till now, we purchased already 7.92% of our shares, and due to the Czech law, they remain only 2%, we can buy more, but 25% of the remaining part, 0.5%, is blocked because they are shares held before start of the buyback for the purpose of the share motivation program. Because we want to buy up to the 10%, we have to at least partly make a space for us, and therefore we temporarily stop the buyback of shares from 23rd of December to 4th January week. In this period, we provide possibilities to CEZ executives to exert part of their options, and here with to enable CEZ to better use the limit for buyback. We especially choose this time period because it's usually it's period with lower trade volume plus. At the end of January, it starts the 20 days period before announcing of the yearly result, where managers are not entitled to trade with the shares. Another information we would like to share with you is that we changed, we approved the new dividend policy where we can manage the best practice in the sector and have our dividend policy similar to the other large players. And therefore we increased the payout ratio of 50 to 60% of the net profit free of extraordinary effects. This will be valid already for the dividend which will be paid in the second quarter in 2008, meaning the dividend from the 2007 results. We think that this payout ratio, 50 to 60%, will even improve our capital structure. That's for me, and now I will pass the word to Alan Sigurdsson.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'll take you as usual through an outlook on the power market and our position for the coming years. On page 7, you see the current comparison of forward prices on the Czech power market with the German EEX market. And you see that prices are more or less at the same level. On the base load level, you see that Czech prices are about 2 euros or 2 to 3 euros below the German level in all products. In the peak products, you see that in fact in some occasions Czech prices are actually higher than the German. So on average I would say that you see that prices have converged and are more or less moving together, reacting to the outside factors like price of fuel, price of CO2 permits, or the demand-supply ratio prevailing in the regional market. The introduction of the power exchange in the Czech Republic helped us also to adopt a multi-year sales and trading policy, meaning we can now also sell forward power for not just the upcoming year, but also 2 to 3 years forward. We have utilized this opportunity, and we already sold 27% of our production for 2009, and also 7% for 2010. You see that the realized prices are moving up. For 2008, the average base load price is about 52 euros. For 2009, we have achieved already 57 euros. And for 2010, these are deals mainly done in summer where we have still hedged it on the European exchange on the EEX. The trades done these days are actually locked in at prices around 59 euros, as this is the prevailing price for the whole region. And also it's important to say that these are achieved average base load prices. If you will take an average megawatt hour produced, you should add also premiums for seasonal products like the peaks and short-term products, where then on average per all megawatt hours produced, this is an additional approximately 8%. Similarly to our forward sales on the wholesale market, we also introduced multi-year contracts in the end-user market. And you see on the next page that we already closed 45% of our sales for 2009, and what's maybe even more surprising, more than 35% for 2010. This is in the segment of medium to large customers, where we are able to offer these multiple contracts, and customers are very interested in locking in their prices, even though it represents further price growth for them. So based on recent development on the market, especially the push for much stricter regulation of CO2 emissions, we have also adopted some strategic priorities in order to get ready for a potential step change in the way how CO2 is being sold or distributed and what could be the prevailing CO2 prices. This the new set of initiatives basically boils down into three main items. One is the extension of the production portfolio of gas-fired power plants. The other is extension of production facilities of the existing nuclear fleet and potentially participating in investment in new projects. And third is the building of a significant portfolio of JICM credits transferable into the EU ETS system. Basically, these three elements of the new strategy are aiming at bringing CAS at the end of 2012 to the position which where we would benefit from higher CO2 regulation more than what would be the extra cost derived from such a change. And we believe that if we fully implement these three, we will indeed win also in the next round of the CO2 regulation and power prices development. The one important part of this is building up of gas-fired power plants, and we are happy to announce that we approved a project in the Czech Republic, which should be in the location of our coal plant Košerady, and this week the board has decided to go ahead with this project and the actual preparation has been launched. In a minute we will talk about the JV with small to invest in large CCGTs in Slovakia and Hungary. On top of that, we are also bidding in privatization processes in Romania for two gas-fired power plants there. And we decided also to invest in the gas in Bulgaria, where on top of some smaller projects, we also consider investment in gas-fired capacity in our power plant location in Varna. On the remaining two slides, you see also our initiatives on the nuclear field, and with regard to the GICDM project, I'm ready to comment on those if you have questions, but let me now move fast to the main topic of today, which is the strategic alliance of CEZ and MOL.
So we signed 1 hour ago a strategic alliance between CEZ and MOL, which has two basic parts. The first part is the creation of the new joint venture, which will build two combined cycle power plants, gas-fired power plants in refineries of the MOL group in Slovakia and Hungary. And at the same time, CEZ will purchase by special financial conditions, which I will describe later, 7% of MOL shares. The main principle of the joint venture is that this is a 50-50 joint venture in equity interest, voting rights, and other benefits. Operations are targeted four main CEE countries: Hungary, Slovakia, Croatia, and Slovenia, which are exactly the countries where CEZ haven't been yet, and countries where MOL is very strongly present and knows the markets. The initial projects will be 800 megawatt CCGT plants in Sasa Lombarda, the Hungarian refinery, and 800 megawatt CCGT plant in Bratislava, whereby we will modernize 116 megawatt thermal power plant. These two refineries are two of the most three most efficient refineries in whole Europe. MOL will contribute current heat plants and related infrastructure into the joint venture. Due to the fact that MOL will at the same time buy the heat from the CCGTs, this will mean a much higher efficiency and therefore higher financial return than by just the gas-fired power plants. A gas supply contract will be directly from MOL, and the same offtake contract for refineries, steam and electricity. Refineries will buy approximately 20-25% of the electricity consumption. The rest will be sold on the free markets. the Bratislava thermal power plants the possibility for dual fuel capability for gas and liquid residuals. As I mentioned, CEZ will purchase 7% of common stock of MOL. We will buy directly from MOL to strengthen our position in the strategic alliance. CEZ sells to MOL an American call option with strike price 20,000 Hungarian forints. This option can be exercised within 3 years from the date of signing, this one today. Our call premium covers spread between strike and purchase price and guarantees CEZ capital cost coverage until the option expires or is exercised. Principally, it means that not only we are hedged until the against the price drop of the current MOL share price, potential price drop. At the same time, we have a coverage of our capital costs. We cannot say exactly the figure as we agreed with our partner MOL, but I can mention that it's higher than our WACC for similar transactions. So it means that the total cash outlay, which the price will pay for the MOL shares, for the 7% of MOL shares, will be approximately euro 560 million, and we will pay it in the first quarter of the next year. The purchase of the shares will be in January. Setting up of JV companies and management teams will be first quarter next year. Asset contribution basically during the next year, and the JV will be fully operational with all assets in the first quarter 2009. And these two strategic projects, the feasibility studies within the next 7 months or 8 months. The concession permits, we think we will receive within 1 to 2 years. We will, in between the 2008 and beginning of 2010, we will choose suppliers and sign the contract with them. And we expect the commissioning of both CDPs 2013 and 2014. The total power generation of the two CDPs should be approximately 14 terawatt hours a year, and 10 petajoule of heat yearly, and the total gas offtake 2 billion cubic meter yearly. These two countries are countries with very favorable situation of the price markets. Both Slovakia and Hungary are deficit markets from the electric point of view, with higher prices than the prices in Germany. If the current price in Germany on the east is between 56 to 59 euros, the price in Slovakia for next year is 60 to 62 euros, and in Hungary 70 to 72 euros. Both Croatia and Slovenia, the prices are over 70 euros. The main rationals for CEZ, we think that the perfect geographic fit. We are entering countries where CEZ has so far no generation assets. Partnership with a player who is experienced in the gas business, gas sector. We diversify significantly our CO2 exposure. We are exploiting high power prices in countries with shortage of supply, as I mentioned, strengthening our position of reliable energy supplier for large multinationals. The related financial transaction structure provides target capital return for CEZ with limited market risk before cash invested small shares is deployed in JV investments. I think this rational, the same rational is for MOL. They will further enhance energy supply security. They better control the energy costs. Increase the refinery complexity with ability to burn heavy fuel oil. And enter the electricity market. and it's even fits for them geographically for their strategies.
Operator, we are now ready to take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or if you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Our first question comes from Matthew Markey.
Hello. Could you please just explain to me how they've guaranteed the cost of capital? What happens if Moll cancels its dividend?
The reason why we say there is a guaranteed return is because the price of the call option is paid in two components. One is a fixed component paid up front, which basically is the price difference between the purchase price and the strike price of 20,000. The second component is a rollover fee paid annually, providing us with the return that we talked about. And that means that this, independent of the dividend policy, this is the revenue for us.
Okay, can I also ask you then, what are you putting into the JV? So Moll's putting in these two thermal plants. What are you putting into the actual JV?
We are putting in intangible assets in form of our sales and trading know-how. The trading team that will belong to the JV will most likely be present on the Prague trading floor. And we are putting in our expertise in building power plants and operating them. And in terms of physical assets, this will mainly be cash to match up the initial inclusion of more physical assets.
Okay, well done. It's a very good deal for you.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Tanya Markloff of MS London.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have a question on the gas procurement contract that you agreed on, and the electricity procurement contract for Moll. So could you elaborate at what price Moll will acquire 20-25% of the production, and at which gas price you will receive the gas for the power plants in the joint venture?
Yes, we agreed on two principles in the JV. One is that we share all the upsides 50-50, as we're also present in the JV with 50-50 equity share. So that's one principle which also basically covers the split of upsides from dual fuel heat and location availability. In terms of prices, we adopted the second principle, which is that everything should be based on market prices. So even if a Moll takes power produced from the CCGTs, it will be sold at power prices prevailing on the market at that time. So it will be, from the daily perspective, equal to selling the power on the general wholesale market, which is also the strategy for the remaining 75% of the volume, where the asset optimizers, which is this sort of asset and trading team within the JV, will be charged to basically sell in an optimal way. Power production optimize also the utilization of the assets and the gas contracts. The gas contracts is not something that's included in the JV up front. We agree that we will spend now considerable effort and time to negotiate the best available conditions on the market. However, we are leveraging the presence of Moll on the gas market, their ability to contract, and also their ability to transport and store gas in the target country.
Thank you. I have one more question. Just If you could clarify the 1.4 billion euros joint venture investment, is that the share share or is it the 100%? Is it the extra 100% of the joint venture?
It's a total amount and it will be shared 50-50 by both shareholders. And of course, not everything will be financed from our equity. We count with a portion of that, definitely.
Thank you very much.
Again, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. Our next question comes from Daniel Lacayas.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Could you please explain to me if there is any level of legal uncertainty? I know that OMB is contesting the share buyback that MOL made, and whether there's any risk for you in the acquisition of that 7%, given that there's some level of legal challenging of the proprietary participation that MOL holds in his own shares?
We have done a detailed legal analysis and we have not come up with, or the lawyers have not come up with any single legal risk that would be that is something that we would need to address. So we feel fully comfortable with the setup that we are entering into.
Excellent.
The lawyer was, the wife of John Menges was the lawyer for the transaction.
Sorry?
The lawyer was a wild goat John Menges for the transaction.
Oh, excellent. That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Matthias Heck of Oppenheimer.
Hi, gentlemen. Good afternoon. I have basically two questions. First question regarding the power plant projects the MOL, you highlighted that you will sell the power production at market prices, but of course it would be very helpful for us to get an indication on the expected spark spread you project for the new power plant. Second one, Alan, you mentioned that your target is with the specific activities you have to even overcompensate a potential shortage or target CO2 allocation from 2013 onwards. I would be interested in what level of shortage basically you expect, or if you expect any CO2 allocations beyond 2013. And what amount you expect to have to cover. I mean, according to my expectations, you have to cover an entire shortage of the 34 million tons you are receiving for free for the next years, but not, potentially not beyond 2013. You would have to cover a shortage of some 24 billion Czech crowns. Could you elaborate a little bit on the measures you intend to overcompensate?
Yes, first on the spark spread. I cannot be too specific on this, but basically what we did, we ranked the opportunities for us by the factors entering into the calculations. And we see that also gas-fired power plants in the Czech Republic are getting in the money. The two, or that means also for the same reason in Germany. The two projects in Slovakia and Hungary are much more attractive than these generic projects because of the synergies we mentioned. So there is a very significant additional contribution to the overall NPV of the project, which makes them highly profitable already today, and a perfect hedge for us if CO2 cost goes up and therefore also power prices will go up, because with such assets we will gain more on the power side than what we have to pay on the CO2 side. With regard to the overall strategy to hedge the strength, the tightening of the CO2 market, we have run different scenarios and we see that even if CO2 is fully auctioned, we should come up with equal or better margins, because we expect that with such a strict method of allocation, also the total amount of CO2 credits distributed will be very significantly reduced, leading to high power prices.
We don't expect a scenario where there will be a very tight allocation, very tough allocation of credits via auctions, and at the same time plenty of credits provided. Only in this single scenario we would actually lose more than we win even after we adopt these measures. But in all other cases that is business as usual or auctioning with tight allocation leading to high power prices, we should benefit extremely from our use and from this emerging gas parked fleet, offsetting some lower margins from the coal fleet. And what could also help is the building cushion from the GICDM credits that we are piling up in our portfolio. So no more specific numbers, but we believe this strategy should secure strong performance even if nothing changes, but especially when we see the CO2 markets getting much, much tighter.
Our next question comes from Simon Flo.
Yeah, hi, it's Simon Flowers at Merrill's. All my questions on the MOL deal have been answered, but two others. Is there anything more to say on Mosteca? I think there were some headlines coming up that something was happening there. Just wondered if there's any progress. I know it's a bit complicated, but you would be interested if that was a red herring or not. And secondly, can you just remind us, in the light of these deals, where it looks like you'll be spending something like 1.2 or 1.3 billion euros, can you just, you with a joint venture investment plus the initial acquisition, can you just remind us what the what your balance sheet efficiency targets are? Is it 3.5 times net debt to EBITDA? Thank you.
Okay, I will first comment on Mosteca. The negotiations are not progressing very fast. Actually yesterday we came to the conclusion that the original way how we wanted to realize the transaction is legally very complicated for the other part. They came yesterday with some idea of potential new structure which we will analyze. So we are negotiating at the moment. And
just to also highlight, we still believe that through the legal litigation we can achieve strong compensation, and our alternatives are also attractive, so we are not tied up to this one single scenario, even though we keep all options open and see if we could find a out-of-court settlement. Because we don't know how this takes forward, we agreed that in the meantime we follow the gas construction, the gas capacity construction, and the best location for it actually is the location of the current coal fleet supplied by coal. So until we find another alternative, we are now decided to follow this priority and build or start the preparation for construction of gas park capacities in this place. With regard to our capacity to finance these announced or other investments, we are still aiming at 2.5 net debt to EBITDA, which we are still comfortable to achieve. In fact, there is still a lot of additional cushion to reach that level. That's also why we decided to upgrade the dividend policy as was mentioned by Martin.
Thanks very much.
Our next question comes from Fulya Ibi of Global Securities.
Hey, good afternoon. Could you please give us some updates regarding your ongoing negotiations with Ak Enerji in Turkey?
I think, as I've been informed by our accountant advisor, Doyle & Touche, they just finished the economic diligence or analysis, and we will negotiate the final price in the upcoming weeks.
investors in Aki Energy, or you will just build a partnership with them? What is the detail of the negotiations right now? Because Aki Energy does not give any detail to the investor community so far.
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, sure. Actually, we couldn't have any update from Aki Energy itself so far in the name of the Turkish investor community. So could you please give us some details about the nature of the negotiation? Is it about building another joint venture with them, or you will just have shares in some of their new building power plants? So what is the detail?
We agreed not to share the details with public analysts before the final agreement, but it's definitely about a stronger presence on the Turkish market. This is one of the most growing markets, a market with a fantastic outlook. Half of the population is below 20 years age. So their estimations are they will have to triple the installed capacity within the next 15 to 20 years. So we see a big opportunity, and we are discussing more options how to use this opportunity jointly with Aki Energy.
So could you please repeat the schedule that you just mentioned at the beginning of your answer?
I just told that we have now more data, and within the next week we should be able to have the last information needed for the final conclusion.
So could we have some more detail during the first quarter then?
I think so that during the first quarter we should be able to do some more, definitely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Market Palmer of Octavian.
Hi, I was just wondering if you could confirm the level at which you will be acquiring the MOL shares, and secondly, I guess if you could give us a little bit of an understanding for the rationale of taking a stake in MOL while you're just trying to finance a JV. And thirdly, I guess, do you have any voting limitations as regards to your stake in MOL?
Effectively, we are paying 20,000 foreign per shares. Plus, we have we are fully covered our share of capital for the duration of the options. It means for the next 3 years. And the cost of capital we are receiving is higher than our WACC for these kind of transactions.
How about the voting rights?
We do obtain voting rights with the shares, and we have entered in some arrangement as well with regard to voting.
What is the arrangement?
We agreed not to disclose more details on arrangements at this time.
Our next question comes from Jaraka Carasquillo of Lincolnvale.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first is whether or not you can talk to us about how the gas price will be set at the offtake agreements. And the second is for the cash outlay in the first quarter of $560 million, at what Czech krona rate will that be converted, please?
So, of course, the krona rate to the krona plan applying less than this.
So, first, with regard to the exchange rate, the transaction is actually being settled in euros. The share purchase agreement, we have no exposure to foreigns, we have exposure to euros, as stated in the document, it's $560 million. And we are going to finance it also from euro-denominated debt that we have raised already before.
In the accounting, you will see it transformed into Czech rand by the prevailing exchange on the day of the accounting books being closed.
Okay, and the offtake supply agreements for all?
Sorry, the offtake contract is not something fixed for the time being. We agreed to jointly find best alternatives and negotiate alternative structures of supply and then choose the best arrangement available. We have some alternatives already on the table, but we are not convinced that these are the best offers we can get. Therefore, we have scheduled enough time for further negotiations during the preparation of the project.
Let me ask the question then this way: given what's happened to gas supply agreements, looking into 2008, do you have an envisioned sort of profitability guidance you're comfortable giving the market for what level of expected profitability you expect these plants to be at?
No, we don't have such a guidance available at this moment. We have our internal calculations where we are very comfortable with this project, also because of the synergies on top of the basic NPV for generic CCGT projects. And as I said, we are not bound to current long-term contracts prevailing on the market, either in Hungary or Slovakia. We are working on a new set of contracts where we will also negotiate the best, price formulas according to our own perception of the further development.
Do you at least expect them to be accretive to your margin?
Sorry, be what?
Do you at least expect them to be accretive to your margin?
Sorry, I don't understand.
Accretive. Do you expect these projects to come in above your current margin?
Well, they will come definitely above cost of capital. It's hard to manage production margins from our current fleet because it's mostly written off, largely composed of nuclear.
Right, I'm assuming stripping out nuclear of that question.
But as I said, we are left with old coal plants with coal available at extraction cost, so it's very, very hard to beat such assets. But from all the new options we have, these projects as well are ranking really on the top.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Bram Burring of Wooden Company.
Hello. I apologize if these questions have already been asked, but if you could tell us what is your total cash outlay going to be for the project, the MOL project, beyond the $560 million at the beginning of next year, and maybe the rationale for if MOL does not exercise its call option or no shares for putting them into the JV project afterwards. Thanks very much.
Okay, we expect that we will not spend in the next 3 years much more than the 560 because the JV investment needs will become significant only after or during or after the third year. That is, after we will be free to take the cash from MOL shares and transfer it into the JV. Obviously, if the JV finds many more profitable growth opportunities, we are ready to finance it ahead of this schedule or with much more cash than this amount. We are actually not talking about transferring more shares into the JV, but talking about time synchronous need for cash for more shares now and need for cash in the JV 3 years down the road when cash for more shares will be available again.
Mm-hmm. Is that 3 year window, does it have something to do with why the project seems to be taking a little bit longer to be operational than I was originally expecting? Or is that just due to types, markets or generation equipment in the sense.
Well, I don't know what your expectation was, but we calculate about four years minimum to bring the power plants online, more likely 45, and the actual cash needed is usually towards the end of this period, so that's an assumption we use in our calculations.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Teresa Schinwald.
Good afternoon. Moll indicated that you entered a commitment to buy additional 3% in case of enlarging the joint venture with additional sizable projects. What would be the project size that triggers that?
For example, if they arrange to buy the MBN, Hungarian, this would definitely be a project we would be ready to buy additional 3% of their shares.
No, but apart from this, Bulgaria, obviously, we have said that the JV is focusing exclusively on four markets, Slovakia, Hungary, Slovenia, and Croatia. And already now we have two or three further ideas for additional investments, and we will develop them in more details, and if we find something comparable in size to at least one of the two investments we're making today, we will seriously consider for investments in more shares.
Our next question comes from Daniel Akai.
Thank you very much. Just a follow-up question. You mentioned a possible additional 3% in the company. Would that be also made in the same terms and conditions in which this current decision for the 7% stake has been made? And another question, will you be seated in the board of MOL? Will you request a presence in the board? Thank you.
It's too early to speculate under what conditions we will buy further shares, and we have not asked for any representation on the board of MOL.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful. Thanks.
I'm not showing any further questions at this time.
Okay, so if there are no questions, I would like to thank you everyone for participation, and if there is more questions later on, you are free to contact Investor Relations of CHESS, and I would like to thank you both Martin Roman and Anna Svoboda for taking part in this call.
Thank you, and wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the program. You may now disconnect. Thank you and have a great day.